Welcome to Big Blend Radio's first Friday Toast to the Arts and Parks show with the National Parks Arts Foundation, who are known for their amazing artist residencies in parks across the country. So everyone, today we're so excited because we have the president of the National Parks Arts Foundation back on the show, Tania Ortega. Not only is she the president and founder of, are you the president, Madam President? Do I get to say that, Tania?
Yes,
founder?
Thank you.
She's the Madam President. We like Madam Presidents. But she's also an amazing photographer. And I think, you know, before we get into today talking about looking at National Parks Arts Foundation, NPAF, as we say, for 2024, what people can look forward to. I just want to go back a little bit into why you started the National Parks Arts Foundation and how many years? Because now I feel like we've known each other for like a gazillion years. You're like family now.
Oh, you're like family now too. Everybody's like family that's been with us for all this long. Well, we became a prophet 10 years ago. Of course, we were working on it before that too, but yes, this is our anniversary year, 2023, 10 years as a nonprofit. So we're pretty excited about that. We should have probably had a party or something, but instead of that, we're taking that funding and making sure that our various programs, which are artist in residence programs, exhibitions, and workshops, education in parks. So the reason that about this, Lisa, so cut me off at any time you want, mm-mm, is because the park started because of artists. So as you know, in Yellowstone, the government sent out a couple of artists, and Congress was convinced when they saw Moran's watercolor drawings in his painting book. You know, he's doing watercolor, and they saw it and they said, well, what was to become the Park Service, these lands are worth it. So it is because of artists that the national parks were started. So there is a legacy in the parks of artists making sure that people know about the parks. And what's interesting about that too is, even if you aren't able to go to a park, there's a great importance of artists. And by artists, we mean musicians, painters, everybody who is an artist, to be able to bring the park outside of the park for the people. So the reason that it started is because I saw that as a need during my first, the first park that hired me was Yellowstone. So I was able to see the archives and be able to see some of what Moran had at that park, just because I love to go through the archives and find out about that stuff. And that was in the late 1980s. So it's a need. It's a need that has to be filled, because it affects art, affects everybody, babies through seniors. It does things to move mountains as far as getting an understanding of park resources and the importance of parks.
I love that, because it's, you know, the history of that. When people really dig into it, it's like interesting how they had to take things on trains with big paintings. And then, you know, like, how do we, you've got to think about what art was like back then and transportation back then. And if it wasn't for the arts, there's no way this would end up on the map. Always talk about, you know, obviously Ansel Adams, but Susan Thew. That's her whole name. Just look it up. Anyway, she went out on horseback, and this is in the like 30s and 40s, on horseback to photograph and document what was then General Grant National Park, which is now Kings Canyon and Sequoia. And because of her, she actually inspired Ansel Adams to stand up for these parks and to get more land. And we have bigger park systems because of her in that region and those two parks. So there's like all these like adventuresome artists that went out there camping, hiking, doing this. And you've got to think, it's not like what we have now, right? And in regards to, oh, let me, you know, do this and send the image to a gallery over here, you know, via WeTransfer or something. You know what I mean? We're all like so digital now. And we didn't have that back then. They, you know, even getting somewhere in car by car was not even feasible back then. It was like a big deal. So that's what's so interesting to me about this, system of parks that we have that inspired other countries to have national parks. It started here, and it all started with the art. So I love that, and I love, Nancy and I, we've been doing these shows with you for years, and interviewing artists that are residents in the park, and it's so interesting to hear ones, as they go in to a residency, which is a full month, which is pretty unheard of, and amazing to be able to just shut off from regular life and just focus on something specific. They all change what they think they're going to do in parks. I think just about, I'm 99.9%, right, have changed their
Oh.
focus of what they're going to do, but
Oh,
have come through
well,
learning new skills too. That's the other thing, right?
yes, they get inspired. And I mean, to talk about the woman who did Sequoia Kings Canyon on
Priscilla
horseback.
Thew. It's Priscilla Thew. Yeah, I got it right now.
I mean, that is, she said to herself, I'm going to do this, and set out on her own and did it. And wow, those people, those types of people who want to make a difference are so important and so valuable, so rare, that it's a necessity. I'm so proud of people like that.
Yeah,
So
especially women.
We create this platform for people to be able to do that in a way that is recognized, which is important too, because the parks are receiving a great gift from these artists that it just lasts forever.
Well, I want to talk about the, how you're taking the parks out of the parks for people, because not everyone gets to go to, these, grand places like Dry Tortugas. Like, how many of us are going to get in a boat and be able to go to Loggerhead Key? None. 90% can't. You know what I mean? So there's these places that we're able to learn about and
Yes.
respect and support the preservation and conservation of these places. And we just can't go everywhere in our lives. We all try, and like Nancy and I are digital nomads. We, you've traveled the world too, and Nancy and I too. And it's like, you will never get everywhere, but damn, we're gonna try. But it's, where does this, your inspiration come from to even travel? I think a lot of times it comes from the arts and photography, from music. Someone's got a song that talks about an area and it gets under your skin, it becomes an earworm, and next thing you know, you're there. I mean, look what you two did for Joshua Tree. I'm just saying, and Graham Nash. Okay, Graham Parsons, sorry. I mean, it's really kind of interesting when you look at the arts and how everybody thought you two recorded Joshua Tree in Joshua Tree National Park. They didn't. They were there for a little bit, but not like that. You know what I mean? So,
It's almost impossible. I mean, a lot of artistic media that we know, even Moran, when he went to Yellowstone, yes, he showed them the watercolor drawings that were small, but it took him years to paint the paintings that we all know of Yellowstone. So, you can't, a month is actually too short. But and that's another thing. You said that people often change what their proposal is, and they don't necessarily change that, because that's kind of something, but they do sometimes. But what happens is they get more inspired, and so they add on more projects, and then they want to come back. A lot of people are coming back. In fact, Xisuang Yang, who is
Oh,
at Hawaii
yeah.
Volcanoes National Park, she's going to have a concert in February. Oh, shoot, it's not official yet, but hopefully she will be having a concert at Hawaii
Well, I know
Volcanoes.
she's back in Hawaii. She was just on our show, and
Yeah.
everyone, we'll put the link to Shiswan's latest interview in the show notes for folks. And I mean, that's the thing. You've had like Alice Lees has done a lot of repeat, residencies as well. And you've had some artists that have a continuate, like Andy Warner, who's like had this continuation of a story going through his work as a comic artist. And so it's really interesting to see how artists progress and then They have, you know, there's an application process. So for artists, musicians, this is open to everyone. There is an application process and then it goes through jury. And if you don't get through the first time, do it again. Every artist that we've interviewed always says, just keep going. Don't, it just is what it is. Move forward. Don't stop applying to do it because it's changed their lives. Everything I've heard from artists, it's like, this has helped their resume. It is, help them hone their craft, help them in so many ways, and the parks gain from it. The viewing or listening audience has gained from it. So it seems to be like this giant win-win-win. We don't just like win-wins. We like win-win-win-win here.
It
We're the big win. We like the
really
big win. We like the big wins, but that's what it
is.
seems like. You know, it's been years that we've been doing this, but like you see these artists that we'll go back and see something else because it is, you can't go to a park once and think you know a park, you know? It's different every day. Like Chaco, the weather changes, you know, the shadows change. It is, you know, right now it's snowing there as we
Isn't
talk.
Chaco beautiful? Oh my gosh. And I think I might have mentioned it before, but we are now in partnership with the Interior Museum. And we've been working with them for a few years, but we're so lucky to be able to take our artists and present them to the museum for acceptance into the museum. And we are planning events
Wow.
at the museum along with that. So, and I'm sorry if I'm on repeat, but Chaco has some great artists that have gone through Chaco. And so we are probably going to be able to have Chaco represented at the museum, which is really exciting. So yes, it goes to so many levels for the artists that apply. And it is true. It is so much work for artists to get. And you've probably applied for things. I spent many years applying for residencies and other opportunities. And for me anyway, it's always hard when I realize I didn't get the opportunity that I wanted, but it takes doing it over and over again sometimes. Sometimes you'll just get it on the first try, but it's a lot of work. And we're all artists at National Parks Arts Foundation, and we respect not the time that it takes to apply to these things.
That's
And
right.
also, it sounds wonderful to be inspired and have another thing come into your mind when you go to the park and you're there. And but it's a little bit like, oh, I'm so inspired. Now I have another project I want to do. You know, for the artist, as an artist, as myself going, that always happens to me when I do residencies in national parks, but I love
Yeah.
it.
I understand that completely. Look at us. Like Nancy and I traveling, like, oh, now we have to do this magazine. Now we have to do that. It's rabbit holes, you know, but that's the good thing in life. When you're inspired by something, God, that's truly living. And I think that's the thing that the artists that apply and they produce something, they do a show. Sometimes it's a demonstration for the public, even at the park. You know, we're post-COVID now, right? But you never know. But the arts transcend. And once
They
it's out there, it's out there. And a
forever.
memory or a feeling. Like if you've seen an artist demonstration, that may be a temporary thing if you don't have something tangible in your hands or something you can take home to listen to. But that memory is ingrained in you. Like you watch what an artist goes through to create something. And it's like, oh, wow, I've learned something. And right now, I think so many people are traveling through wanting experiences, and it's got nothing to do with age. It doesn't really matter from all the stuff Nancy and I do in tourism work. What we're seeing is so many people want experience, they want something transformational. And as an artist, I think that's what art is. It's transformation. It's always about transformation, isn't it, in a way? It's like integrity and transformation hold hands. And here it is. We're going to create something that moves and maybe changes your mind or makes you feel something. And that's what I think the artists are doing in the parks, no matter what they're doing. And it's not just plein air painting. I'm just saying, nothing against plein air painting because that's hard to do. You get bugs in your art and all kinds of stuff. But I think everyone automatically thinks you have to be a plein air painter to apply. And that's further from the
Oh,
truth.
yeah, that's not the truth. In fact, we have had, and I love this one as an example. We have had chefs apply to create food from the area, you know, not taken from the park, from the area of the park to represent the wherever it might be. And I cannot wait until we have an chefs or artists. Like, yeah, it's not just painters, it's photographers, it's everybody, it's musicians. I can't think of something that isn't. But we get a lot of emails too saying, oh, I'm a writer. Am I an artist? Well, yes, you are an artist. So it's important. And yeah, it transcends.
I love that. You know, it's like, am I an artist? Yeah, because we've you had Zoe, the science writer on the show with us, that was in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. You've got a lot of people that are documenting and then taking it in again, transformation, transforming it into something that the public can understand. And that's what the arts is like, that vessel to get that information into us. Because whenever we think there's that 80% of us that are not nuts and bolts people with into like hard facts and the fine print. Like when you hear about fine print, don't you kind of want to turn away? Like I know you have to do that in your work for everybody being able to be in parks, all the permitting processes and all that stuff that none of us want to know about. You guys do, which is like I don't know. You need to take up wine, drinking wine like Nancy and I for that. But
We do a
that's what
lot of that.
the arts are a way for us to ingest information and learn and feel, and without having to read the fine print, but then maybe be inspired to read the fine print. Does that make sense? You know, to actually learn more.
It does. It does. People don't see the work of having to do the fine print and getting the permits and everything that's behind the scenes. And for artists, that's fine. That's not their area of expertise. We're lucky enough to be able to know how to navigate all of those things. So.
Oh, yeah, you have to deal with government and all of that. That is because parks are national parks are federal. You've got state parks. I know you work with all kinds of parks and communities, right? Not
Oh, yeah.
just national parks.
Yeah, all kinds of parks. It is a national program. So that's national parks. Yeah, but it's a lot of times that's too much for an artist to do most of the time. It's different than being an artist. It's a whole nother job. So we're able to do that, and we're pretty lucky. And our artists also, and I hate to say our artists because they're of their own right, of course, but we've been able to partner with, you know, the Poetry Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, you know, a couple of our artists have been at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center. You know, we have a couple of them coming up this year playing there. So it does open the doors to different things. It's exciting, and the inspiration. I mean, tell me, Lisa, can you remember a song or a piece of artwork that you were so like moved by? What was that for you? I know I'm not supposed to be the one asking the questions necessarily, but
No, everyone has that. I think I remember something with you and a fish. Am I right about that? Ooh,
you're
turning the tables
right.
on you.
You're
Yep, a fish
absolutely
painting.
right.
Yep. But there is that inspires you, like, oh, I want to go there. You know, there's definitely art pieces of art that just go, I need to go there. I want to know about this place, you know.
Or I want to save that place. I want to save that environment. I don't want it destroyed,
Well,
which the artist can do too.
there was a lady who wrote a book, and I'm gonna bring it up now. She wrote a novel about, oh boy, the Everglades. Marjorie, oh gosh, help me on this one. I'm looking it up right now. She wrote a novel. Laurie McCullen is her name. It's called Among the Beautiful Beasts. It's a novel.
I've heard of this. I'm going to write her name down.
It was set in the 1920s in Miami, and it's the untold story of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, who sold, you know, saved the Everglades, but gave the backstory and as a novel. And that's what I'm I would love
Not
to see more writers
comical.
get on board with what
Yes.
MPAF does, because novels and historical fiction is such a beautiful way to get people connected. And she did this and basically shared the history of Marjorie, and it's the background of why this woman, how she had her grit to keep standing up for the parks. And she didn't like the Everglades when she first got there. She didn't like the
Wow.
mosquitoes. She was all like, no. So it's really interesting how she fell in love with the swamps and all of that. And it's true. Once you get past the bugs, you learn. And she did, and she fell in love with it and understood the ecosystem. And it was because she spent time and got to experience the ecosystem of, like, how does the alligator work with the gallinule bird, and how does this eat that, and how do they all interconnect? And when you understand that from going into a park and seeing the web of life, which includes human history as well, and MPAF does a huge job on that, like Chaco, Fort Union, Gettysburg. I mean, even Death Valley has, human imprints. All the parks have human imprints in them, and some still living history and still going, it she really found that connectivity. And once you experience that connectivity, then you're gonna fight for it, because you realize how fragile it is with there were so many things that have really attacked the Everglades and still do, the Everglades National
Yes.
Park, and even the water system for drinking water, Florida, and I could go on and on and on, and I won't, but oil drilling, all kinds of stuff. But the Everglades have, just this fragile wetland. Yeah, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is a international biosphere, and blah 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 blah. I'll carry on for 10 years, but it was her writing a historical novel got you into understanding, even though it's a novel, it's based on a true story, right? So she could embellish and do things, and you just kind of sunk into this story of who was this woman, and had an idea and understanding of the swamps, of standing up, the fight of someone coming of it's a coming of age story too. It's like you're standing up, and for a woman back in the day to be like that too. So it's an amazing story of this woman. And yes, again, it's fiction, but I think sometimes we need that, and that's what the arts provide. Documentaries are amazing. We're in that life too, where we can watch a documentary, but there's something about a documentary that isn't like, the school teacher hitting you over the head with a textbook that you need to read this and understand the timeline of dates. We don't care about that. That's not how we take in information. The
Yeah,
arts
it's
is how we take in information. So
the human.
that's an example anyway. Yeah.
That's a great example. It's the human element. If you're connecting with anything in the piece of art, and you said writers, you'd like to see more writers. There is a great writer, Roxanne Farcy, who oh, what is her latest book? I think it's called Death in a Nutshell. And so it is not historical, but she brings you into the story. So, and it's set in a park, and her other books that she's doing with this too are also set in parks. And she brings you in, even though it's not historical, but very accurate. I was so impressed by her notes and everything, but it tells a story. And I realized in reading this, even though the story itself is something, and the scene, and it does have to do with the park, that's what brought me in to understand the resources and the importance of the park itself. When you say writers, it's very important that writers apply. We have many writers on our boards. But something like a book will take a long time to create. When people expect that a media, we're easy. We pick up a book, we can read a book. To be able to create that book can take years, years. And even the films that we've had, and we've had screenplay writers and different people too in our national parks, and those can take sometimes 15 years to actually be made. But anyway, it was wonderful to see a writer inspired by the parks and have the setting as the parks. And it Yellowstone is incredible, of course, so.
So for NPAF, the National Parks Arts Foundation, if a writer did a plan, say, I want to do this as research for a novel I'm doing, would that be something you would look at? Because it takes so many years to actually write, be edited, and then actually go out and be published, whether they're self-publishing
Oh,
or having someone.
we understand that definitely. Because it just can take, I mean, if Moran's paintings took many years to paint, that's another historic part of arts in the park. Some artists can do things really quickly, but we respect that. We know what that looks like. We know that it can take a long time for a great piece of art, whether it's a book or a concerto or anything, or even a painting. Great things most often take a long time. So yes, we would definitely look at that.
Well, that makes sense because even right now, as we record this, we're in Eugene, Oregon, and we'll be here while it airs. And we drove across country, and of course, we had to go to Petrified National Forest, National Park, Petrified Forest National Park, and the Painted Desert. And there's so much history there. We went past Gallup, and I'm like, Tanya, I saw those signs to Chaco. I want to go back. But we dodged this little bit of snow, so it was good. But going through there, and you look at this geology, I'm dumbfounded. Every time I go to that park, I'm just absolutely dumbfounded by the geology. And you have to understand that took a gazillion years to create that. Petrified wood doesn't just happen overnight, just like art. It took years
Exactly.
for those colors to come through and those, hoodoos. And oh my gosh, it is just amazing. And it blows my mind. And I think the other thing that artists do, and this is, I'm going to just go off here in a little tangent. So everyone thinks, no, I got to take that back. I can't say everyone because that's not true. I don't want to generalize, but our part, enjoy the pictures, make your Instagram posts and all that stuff. It's great. There's so much more than just driving through. And then, like when we drove through Petrified Forest National Park, it was just, it honestly bugged me because we were driving through. That's all the time we had. And it's better to do that than not see it. If you have that experience, do it. It's amazing.
Well,
But
I have to tell you.
art, go ahead.
Pardon?
I said, go ahead.
It's so interesting that you're talking about Petrified Forest National Park because they have been on our waiting list for a while, and they just contacted us and interested in information on partnering with us for artists in residence programs.
Oh, I hope that happens. That would be
And
insane.
yeah, I mean it would be beautiful. And I think we just need to make sure that okay, well, this is an easy thing. Pretend, Lisa, what would you like to see at Petrified Forest National Park if you were an artist in residence?
I would like to get the hell out of the car and go on a walk, right? And there's all these trails and there's backcountry camping out there that is amazing. And I have friends who have done it and
I'm
I
writing
was
down the
ins I'm
backcountry
ins
camping.
there's backcountry camping there that is insanely cool. Listen, Nancy and I, the okay, Painted Forest National Park, Nancy and I drove from Florence, Colorado to Yuma, and on the way we said, okay, we're gonna do whatever, we're just gonna pull over wherever we want, do what we want on our way. Nancy and I ended up, we went to drove along the Arkansas River. This was an epic 24 hours, not even 24 hours. We drove, this is a crazy, crazy story of park travel. We
Tell us.
drove, this is crazy. But my point is, at the end of the day, is do not just do the drive-through. You want to be the park artist so you can hike and have that time to really photograph that log, that petrified wood in a way that no one else has seen it. Because when you just drive through, you only get one glimpse. And you can't just get that perfect photo by just click, click, click. Maybe like when you're saying applying, you'll get that first one. Yay, you're lucky. Win the jackpot for the day, right? But if you're there
Yeah.
for a month, you can actually understand the colors, the lines, and the geology and get to understand. Go in the archives. Go and learn about the Harvey House girls. Go learn this I mean, there's just so much to it, and understanding the pigments of the sandstone and all of that, and actually understand. So when you interpret and create your art, there's this backbone, and when you have the backbone, you can flourish, right? You have to have that root. And so when I feel like when we drive through, we get this amazing jaw-dropping experience, but it's not as good as spending time to create on top of the roots. You're just doing a drive-by, just not good enough, but do it if that's all you get. But going there, hiking, absolutely. You've got to go off and backcountry hike. There's all these trails through these geological features that are just incredible, that your mind is just, what? How did this happen? Through all these millions of years, there were dinosaurs, there's all these fossils. But
It's so
I'm tripping
amazing.
out. But our route, okay, I'll go back to the crazy
Yeah,
story.
tell
We
the
drove
story.
from Florence, Colorado. So you go, Florence is by Canyon City. So it's all known for the Supermax prisons, but that's not what we're talking about. The Royal Gorge Bridge is there, right? So you can go there, go along the Arkansas River, Coruscant National Recreation Area, which is mind blowing because it's water on both sides and hoodoos and all kinds of crazy stuff. And you get to Gunnison. That canyon, the Black Canyon, is incredible. If you get there through the National Forest and the National Park, well, we went there. I mean, this is just in one trip. And we were like, oh, let's camp up here or do something. And then the wind was just crazy. And we decided, let's go south. Well, we didn't know what we were doing. And I'm scared of heights. Like in driving, I'm not good. But I did like all these mountain passes, the Monarch and all of this.
Was it
And
snowing?
not yet. It was mid-September. It was right before COVID year, right? And so we start heading south. And we went through Melrose. We went through all these different places. Montrose, not Melrose. Down, and next thing you know, we're in Ouray, right? Beautiful. Well, we had to pee. Well, I'm just saying, this is something you want to hear on a National Parks Arts Foundation podcast. Well, there really wasn't much or places to go, and so we're like, okay, we'll just get to drink. We'll go to a gas station. Whatever. No, that didn't happen. Anyway, we kept going, and we went through a Ouray. And we kept thinking we're going to pull off here, pull off. And the way the timing was, it was just one of those weird trips where you just kept going. We ended up going on the Million Dollar Highway. Have you been there? I know you've
Yes.
been through. I did that. I'm the scared person. I mean, I did the Trail Ridge Road in Rocky Mountain National Park, but this thing scared the heck out of me. And I did that. Sun is going down, but the mountains were beautiful. It was a full moon over the Red Mountain, like. Honest to God, like we were lucky. I'm scared, white knuckling it all the way through Bob Marley on replay. Yeah.
This is on the way to Ouray towards Silverton. You're on
Yeah,
that highway.
that right. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. We
That
get
is
to
a great.
Durango, to Durango. Yeah. Then we do this and it's going dark and I'm like, oh, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep. And anyway, we get to Durango, went to get gas. And the bathrooms were working, all the story. We ended up going, okay, we went past Aztec ruins and they were closed. You can't just go pull up at a park, right? I tell people all the time, look at park websites before you go. Well, sometimes you should heed your own advice, Lisa. So now that's closed. There's no camping. You can't do that. All right, keep going. So we went through Shiprock and there was this awesome truck driver that I through Shiprock, went past these just beautiful places, got to Gallup. Rest areas are closed. We still have to be. Anyway,
Oh
like
my
nobody cares
gosh.
about this. We get to Holbrook and there was a gas station with open restrooms and we're fine. And we're like, we're going to go to Petrified Forest National Park. Well, that's closed too. So Nancy and I car camped outside the gate of
Oh
Petrified
my
Forest National Park. It was late at night. I mean, because there's only a couple hours or 2, 3 hours before they're going to open. You know, this is how long this trip is. It's crazy. So we're out there. We wake up and there's a dinosaur looking in the window of the car, like this dinosaur outside the entrance. And there's a school bus of kids coming to pick people up outside it's like a little community. Anyway, the most amazing sunrise we did see, like meteor showers and the stars that night were incredible. It was the closest we could get to camping in the car. It was a dark sky and it was insanely cool. That morning we drove through and we went from the bottom up to go down, which is weird. But that's just the way things happened that night. And I have to tell you, I've fallen in love with that place. And so we just recently redid it, and just even the lighting change in a few years, just the lighting of being there in a different day and a different season is
Different
incredible.
seasons,
So
yeah.
I think that's amazing about how you've had artists come back into a park. And the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park has got to be one of those epic ones of always documenting change, because it's a volcano, it's changing. And you've
Yeah.
had volcano eruptions during your residency, like during, not necessarily during the residency, but as NPAF has been, and people have been able to go into the park and see the changes. And a lot of artists are just, that's a big highlight for them, is to see change and to document change and create from that. Because we all know in art, things are changing. So, that's the thing. Just driving through is great, but being able to spend time to get the lighting right on a photograph, not just take it on
Yeah.
Instagram and put a filter. That was my point. It's just, you can have these epic, crazy road trip stories, which are great, and we live for that. But there's something about being there and being able to watch the sunset, the sunrise, the timing of light, to just understand and take time, like Marjorie did in the Everglades, to understand the ecosystem, including humans, how things work. And I think
Yeah.
that's what you guys really provide, is that opportunity.
Oh,
That was a
thank
long-winded way of, yes,
you.
giving you a crazy, and we did get to pee at the end of it all, but that was a long way to hold it. Just saying.
That's like really a long way. I've got a story about going down that mountain too.
Just don't pee down the mountain.
Yeah, that's a long trip. No, I had to take a Greyhound bus from Oregon down to Santa Fe one time. I might have told
Whoa.
you before. And so the bus was the last, there was a snowstorm, and the bus was the last vehicle that was let down that highway during the snowstorm. So there's a whole bunch of us in this bus. And then all of a sudden, this bright light shines into the bus, and it's nighttime, right? So it's just like this bright light covers the whole bus. And I'm basically probably the only one who's awake. And I'm just like, oh no, what's going on? Aliens? What? No.
Oh, cool.
What had happened is an avalanche. We barely missed the avalanche. And then he decided he was going to back up, and the roads were icy. And I said, nope, I'm getting out of the bus. And a lot of people followed me out of the bus, and it took, I think it was 6 hours. But they have cabins. There's cabins, by the way, that people, who work for the parks are in with, snow patrol and things like that around there. So we got help pretty quickly, but it was 6 hours to clear that thing. So we can, by the way, at Durango, I just got off the bus.
Wow.
It was too much for me because the bus almost went off a cliff. The driver was determined to do whatever. And I was like, I'm not, because that is a sharp drop. There was no way I was going to be involved in that. So, yeah,
Wow.
all snow. I think the snow was like 4 or 5 feet, something. It's probably bigger in my mind than it actually was. But wow, that's quite a drive you took.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And I just saw a Greyhound bus the other day. I haven't seen one forever, and I saw one. And I'm like, is that really a Greyhound? Nancy, is that a Greyhound? You look, it's a Greyhound. It's there. They still exist. Because you don't rarely see it anymore, That's crazy, though. I mean, an
I can't
avalanche.
even remember why I was taking the Greyhound instead of flying. I can't remember why, but I think it was an emergency. I had to get to Santa Fe for something
Yeah.
really, fast. And so I couldn't get a
Wow.
ticket. It was just like a straight shot on the bus.
Wow. But yeah, but this is okay. So getting back to national parks and national park travel, things happen in parks. Things happen with weather. And I mean, dry Tortugas, there's been times where like hurricanes came close and stuff. So if you're going to do that residency, you have to, go through some training, for you to be able to stay on Loggerhead Key, because basically you're off grid. Two people, and every time I tell people, they're like, I want to do it. And then I'm like, do you really? You're off grid. There is no social media, which attracts me heavily. I'd like to just take a break from all of it, but you really have to be prepared to do this. But I think it is probably one of the most epic residencies in the world
It
to
is.
do.
It is. It got some award for that years ago, but it is, and we're very lucky because the Park Service has been really great about doing an introduction sort of training with people to make sure that they know, and even before they go in the residency, yes, you have to take a course, an online course for Dry Tortugas in disaster management, I believe it is. But it's there now. We have two programs. We have one that's open to the public and one that is local. So we've switched the one that's open to the public from it was during hurricane season, and for now we have switched that to the spring. So I think it's in March. So it's a little that's not hurricane season, but you never know at any of these parks. You never know what's going to happen. So, the Park Service has been really, really great about preparing artists. We're very
Well,
lucky.
it's very epic, and it again, it's someplace that you were talking about taking the parks outside, outside of the parks, right? That's a really huge example of that. And not everybody gets to Hawaii volcanoes either. That's a bucket list for so many people. But you know, just hey, we have to get on a plane, or you know what I mean? So it's a bucket list for people to go to. And some of the parks are very remote, like Chaco. We went to Chaco a few years back, also right before COVID, and you know, it was amazing to me because we've seen, you know, and interviewed so many artists that have been there, and I saw their work as I was walking through places, and yet it was still, we were there for majority of a day. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough to get,
It's just not good enough.
it's not good enough, you know, and so it's all great to be able to go to these places, but art stays with you when you can still see the photo. I have musicians that we know, some friends who created a song about Chaco, and I know we've played it on shows before.
Love
Whenever I
it.
hear that, it just takes me there. And so that's the power of the arts, to take you back to places, the memories. It's beautiful. Before you go, tell everybody the best way to keep up with these residency programs, and for folks in communities and park areas that may want to get on board and say, gosh, we need to, you know,
Oh,
golly gosh,
fantastic.
we need to be able to do this in our region. We want to have, you know, NPAF come in and do a residency, because it's the actual communities get involved, like Friends of Parks and art organization come in to fund and help and, you know, make these you know, residencies possible, right?
Yes, that's great, and that's we love it. We love it when people get involved with it. So our general email is info@nationalparksartsfoundation.org. And that's the best way. We read every single one of those emails. And if it needs to go to administration, we'll push it up to admin. And we do have parks applying, and that's what it takes. It takes parks applying for our programs, contacting us. And that's kind of where we're at with Petrified Forest. So, and other parks too. So it's interesting because we've had many, many parks on a waiting list, and the parks who have been on a waiting list have, their staff has changed sometimes even three times since they started on the waiting list. So they're like, oh, we applied to that. Yes. Let's do it. But, so we're very lucky because our funding, we're looking for funding and sponsorship so we can have more programs and more parks. So we have quite a few that are on the waiting list right now. That has come up are Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Yosemite, Carlsbad, Saguaro, Joshua Tree, and
Wow.
yeah, and other state parks too. So
Cool.
and we are able because we are going to be doing a lot of funding work this year to be able to open it up for years to come further. So
I love it.
if anybody would like these programs, please email us because
Yeah.
the parks needs these.
I and that's the other thing is we have AI and all this crap happening. Sorry, see, I'm allowed to say that word. I don't know. But honestly, as we go into this, the artists that go in here and writers and musicians and all genres, right?
Yep.
They come out and it's actual art made by a human. And I'm not anti-AI, there's some good things and some negative things, and we're still working with that, right? And it's going to take a while for the world to deal with this. But this is real. So when you see an artist do a demonstration, that's an artist, a real human being.
It's a
So
real thing. Yes.
yeah, it's the real deal. So a robot is not on Loggerhead Key and the Dry Tortugas giving you like art. This is real. It's kind of like interesting, this AI thing. It reminds me of when you go to a zoo and the elephant paints the or the monkey paints something for you. Like, I'm not saying that animals can't paint. I'm just saying, it's like, what are we doing? But there's some good
Well,
parts of it.
there are
But
some really good parts of it. And you were talking about Dry Tortugas. We partner with the Key West Art and Historical Society. So we're able to have our artists there, this partnership is fantastic because we're bringing that what the artists experience to the public. So if we do not have an event or events or concerts, whatever it may be, or a dinner, even if it's a chef artist,
Oh, cool.
they're for the public. So the public does get to experience as much as they can and meet the artist, and it's great.
I love it. I love it. Everyone, I keep up with National Parks Arts Foundation at nationalparksartsfoundation.org. And if you're an artist, that's where you go. Social media, get on the newsletter list. What's the best way for artists to apply and keep up with? Because I know sometimes you'll get hey, we just got this new residency and you're on a deadline because of how the grants work and the funding works. So what's the
Exactly.
best way for artists to stay in touch with you?
To go to the website, nationalparksartsfoundation.org, to follow us on social media, which is on there at, I can't remember what our Instagram is, but we are on social media, or to just email us.
They are on social media. And do you have a newsletter too, right? That you send out as well for folks? They go on the website.
Yeah, we don't do a newsletter right now, but they can sign up for our email list. And the email list is we don't like to be heavy on mail for
Yeah.
people. I know that I like delete half of mine. So if it's important, we email and remind for reminders of deadlines and that kind of thing. So,
Cool.
and we might even have a fundraiser and email people if they would like to contribute. And that's an
Awesome.
important part of it too.
Yeah, to be a patron of the arts, celebrate
Yes.
the arts and support it because we all need the arts in our lives. If we had no art, it would suck. If we had no national parks or parks, life would suck too. So, you're unsucking our life. Let's put it that
Oh, thank you.
way.
My
That
new
sounds good.
logo.
I hope everybody heard that in the correct way. So thank you so much for joining us, Tanya. Always a pleasure to have you back on the show and keep us up to date on what's going on and just have a conversation on the power of the arts, which is definitely what you're doing, and also to take care of our public spaces, their natural beauty and what's needed for the natural world, but also to preserve and protect and interpret history. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's first Friday Toast to the Arts and Park Show with the National Parks Arts Foundation. Learn more about their amazing park artist residency programs. Go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.